At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome to the Forging Wellness Podcast, where we go beyond the basics of health and wellness to build stronger minds, bodies, and communities. I'm your host, Jesse Clark, a firefighter, paramedic, and coach with 19 years as a first responder. I have a passion for this job, for my family, and for truly enjoying life. But I'll be the first to admit I haven't always gotten it right. Had my ups and downs, made mistakes, and learned some lessons the hard way. But that's what this podcast is all about, learning, growing, and forging a better path together. We're diving into mental and physical health, fitness, nutrition, sleep, leadership, real-world challenges, history, and what it truly takes to thrive. Whether you're a current first responder, aspiring to be one, retired, or the spouse of one, this is for you. Life is more than just making it through the day. Let's forge ahead together. Now let's get into it. All right. Welcome to Forging Wellness Podcast. Once again, my name is Jesse Clark, and here with us today, we've got Brian Yonkin, Lieutenant at Tower 1, Harrisburg Bureau of Fire. He's an author, firefighter, husband, and father of four. Super excited to have you with us here today, Brian. Talk a little bit about your book, about your department, and just about you. So why don't you go ahead and give us a little introduction to yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I got 12 years on in Harrisburg Bureau of Fire. It's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, capital city of Pennsylvania. We have two trucks, three engines. Well, one of those is a rescue squad, a rescue company that we cross-staff. And I've been a lieutenant for 4 years, I believe. Yeah, 4 or 5 years. We've done quite a bit in Harrisburg, firemanship days, firemanship, part of firemanship journal that one of the battalion chiefs runs currently. And yeah, I keep super busy with everything.
With being a father of four, we don't have to divulge too much information, but how old are your kids?
6, 8, 9, and 11.
Man, okay. So pretty close together.
Yeah, it's kind of a pretty good bunch. My wife had two boys with her ex-husband, and then I had two girls with my ex-wife. So, like a Brady Bunch. We've been joking. Okay. We should put the pictures up, like the Brady Bunch on the wall.
Yeah.
Just kind of
I like it.
Fun.
So, are they best friends or worst enemies?
Oh, it depends on the day. Some days, you know, they're walking down the street holding hands, and then the next day they hate each other. So, Just like any other family.
For sure. I'm super excited about this. Obviously, it's always fun when I get to meet people from the other side of the states and from all over the world. It's just unique perspectives, even though we're doing ultimately the same thing. So you wrote a book, and you could tell us a little bit more about when you wrote it, what really kind of inspired you to write it. But it's called Beginner's Guide to Firehouse Kitchens. Give us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when did I write that? A year and a half ago-ish. Just kind of threw around the idea of writing a book for a couple of years. And then I noticed all these new guys that were coming into the kitchen or the firehouse asking the same kind of questions, you know, like how to go grocery shopping or how much food should I make or like give me some simple stuff to cook or even just some of the techniques. It was all very similar. So I was like, oh, if I just put this all together and then in one place, it would be easy for that distribution of information. And, you know, just talking to other guys from other departments, they had the same issue. So, this is good for the whole fire service. So, kind of like a way to give back from kitchen days when I was in my 20s. So, I went to culinary school when I was 18, 19. And then I was a cook for a couple of years after that. And then went to paramedic school and then became a fireman. I have a whole bunch of years in the kitchen, and that's where I got that information from.
Where'd you go to culinary school at, Brian?
Le Cordon Bleu in Phoenix, Arizona. It is actually no longer there. My wife and I were out there last year, and I was driving around, and I was like, this is where my school used to be. And then I looked on the internet, and they disbanded or something like that. Probably. Okay. It was a French cooking school, so I think it's still in France, but they tried to do some areas in the United States, and it didn't work out for long, I guess, but
Yeah, we actually have a couple chefs in our department as well. One, I can't remember where he went initially, but at one point he was Arnold Schwarzenegger's private chef.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Up in Sun Valley. And then we had another guy who I know went to the same school as you did. And then I think he actually transferred and went over to France to finish up his schooling over there.
Nice.
At their school. His name's Sam Jensen. He was a paramedic for our local county service. And then now he went back to cooking and runs like a food truck and just travels with it. So
nice, nice. Yeah, I looked into getting like a sous chef, an executive sous chef job a couple months ago, just to like have some part-time thing, because you can pretty much work around your fireman schedule with that. And I was like, I don't fly, but I was like, hey, it's been a long time since I've done that. But
okay, let's dig into this a little bit. It's called The Beginner's Guide to Firehouse Kitchens, and it's definitely not a recipe book. You're not going to go through it and find a bunch of fancy recipes for the firehouse. But let's talk about a little bit deeper meaning behind your book. It is definitely for people who might not have an experience with kitchens, with firehouse kitchens, definitely for a lot of our newer people coming in who just feel probably a little overwhelmed and have spent the last however many months just in the depths of hell learning all the basics of firefighting, but nothing around the culture of firefighting at the firehouse. For those of you who might be listening that don't know firehouse kitchens, they are a very integral part of what we do in pretty much every department around the nation. So, Brian, can you tell listeners why the firehouse kitchen is so important for the culture of a department and yours in particular?
Yeah, so the firehouse kitchen is super important because just like any group of people, take your family, for instance, like you have to have a central meeting point constantly for important information exchange or just like growing who you are as a group of people, so the culture or whatever. So, and the kitchen table is a place for that in the firehouse. You know, you're not guaranteed anything else during the day at a firehouse other than maybe going on calls, but everybody's got to eat. And you know, throughout the ages and throughout books and throughout history, like sharing food with somebody is an intimate thing. So like you can learn a lot about people and how they eat or what kind of food they like or what kind of food that they cook, how they cook it, you know what I mean? Like their background, where they come from, you know, some of their ancestry, if they like Italian food or whatever. You know, my grandmother taught me how to do this. Like, oh, okay. And then you can have a conversation from that. Getting to know that person a little bit better just forms more intimate relationships with that person, so that, you know, when you're going down the dark hallway or whatever, and you know, things might get a little hairy, you know, you're not just going to leave this dude to hang out by himself.
Yeah. So the Forging Wellness podcast really is built out of a place of trying to bring all things wellness kind of to a center point. When you reached out to me, I was super excited because the kitchen table is where a lot of just ground level wellness does happen in departments, right? It is where we connect. Oops. It is an intimate place, and it gives us a chance to debrief, gives us a chance to air out dirty laundry potentially. It also is a very neutral ground where a lot of times, even when some of those heated topics come up that we don't necessarily want to come up, whether it be politics or anything else, they come from a better place overall. Like nobody comes to the firehouse table and like ready to fight somebody over a certain thing. It might come up and we might share ideas back and forth. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, I've seen heated debates, but they usually end up being covered in just a more neutral ground. Like you said, I just think it creates that common ground for us, that intimate space that regardless of everything, we always come back to.
Yeah. Yeah. And also for a younger guy coming in, you'll see two men or a man and a woman having a conversation in a way that you probably never saw before, that kind of group. And you'd be like, oh, okay. Well, not everything has to be emotionally charged conversation or a heated debate. This guy said something and then the other one was like, you know what? I don't necessarily agree with you, but I can respect your opinion and maybe you sway my opinion. And you know, you have the ability to be like, I can change my thought process on that anytime I want. So, and what a better place to do that other than like when you eat food, because you're also getting energy to your brain. You can actually think straight instead of being emotionally charged and not being able to not hold a good thought for a very long time because, well, you know, you've been up all night or whatever. It's good for younger dudes to see conversations happen that aren't, you know, have to be fights, like you said.
Yeah, I really like the way that you put that. It's important for our newer firefighters to see that, because in the end, when we hit the fire ground, it doesn't matter what that person believes or what that person believes. We're all there to do the same job and work together, and we know that we have each other's back. And that's what the kitchen table provides. Plus, it's really hard to have somebody pretend that they're mad at you or anything like that when they're stuffing their face full of food as well. Okay, so let's get into this a little bit more. For new people, maybe one of the biggest mistakes that you see firefighters make when cooking, and it doesn't have to be mistake, it could be biggest learning curve for firefighters when cooking for their crew.
Yeah, so that's a big one. So I've noticed that most guys in general have never learned how to cook for more than like two people or four people. When you have a big group of guys, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, very difficult to learn how to shop for that many people and, you know, get the right amount of food. So you've heard guys get like one box of pasta for like eight guys. And you're like, where's the rest of the food? You know what I mean? Like after you cook it. So obviously that is not enough for a big bunch of meat eaters. So that is a big thing. Or, you know, overcooking stuff, you know, making the leather boot steak. They never had to do it on their own, or maybe no one's ever showed them. So, like, they're a little nervous at first, you know what I mean? Like, they met all these new people. It's a new environment where they're going to tell you their opinion, whether you like it or not. And you might not be used to that. So all that sort of stuff is very intimidating. If you haven't come from a, you know, a family like that, there are certain people that thrive in those situations or have been in those situations before that do well, like football players, obviously, you know, they get their balls busted all the time, or anybody that's played team sports, like hard team sports, will probably be very successful. Most of the time, like they don't know how to buy for a certain amount of people. And the book helps you break down some of those issues and give you little tips and tricks and how to be successful in that.
Okay. I'm sure you have a number of stories about that as well. One of the stories that comes to my mind, one of the guys who got me into firefighting started as a firefighter at a very young age. He was probably 19 years old when he started with the fire department, and he had zero clue. His mom had always cooked, and he just really had no bearing whatsoever when it came to the firehouse kitchen. Yeah. When he first hit the line, probably for his first five tours, his mom was the one who was actually cooking meals and bringing them in to provide for the crew. And the crews loved it. But just like you said, they were starting to flip him crap. Like, hey, man, this is something that you got to do. You got to learn how to do this on your own. And they were like, have you ever tried grilling corn dogs? And he's like, no. What do you mean? And they were like, you just go to Costco and you get a pack of frozen corn dogs, that huge pack, and you just grill a bunch of them up on. Oh, okay. And so he went and got a bunch of frozen corn dogs and didn't like thaw them out or anything. Just threw them on frozen. And 20 years later, still have not let him live that one down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You hear about those stories all the time. You're like, oh, you remember when so-and-so did this? And they're like, oh, it was 8 years ago. Get over it. It's like, no, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It's a matter of cooking for a lot of hungry people. So having a set amount of poundage that you're going to grab per person for pretty much every meal. What can you tell me is one of your favorite firehouse kitchen memories?
Favorite firehouse kitchen memories? Oh, boy. That's a good one. That's a very interesting question. I don't know if I have a favorite. I think when we get together, our whole shift comes together and has meals. I think that's super cool. Like when we have like retirements and then they'll have a big meal where everybody comes over and hangs out And then, you know, and smoke a bunch of cigars and you chill and relax. And everybody's having a good time, you know, picking on each other. Like, those are the times that are, that stick with me. Like, it's not just like some crazy story, like, happened. It reminds me of like my family growing up. Like, we just sat and had dinner and like, we're having a good time. Nothing too crazy. The meal might not have been like extraordinary, but like the feeling of togetherness is what is important to me. Those are the type of things. Every retirement is pretty good, or anything that brings us together more than one firehouse is always fun.
I can totally agree. It would probably be very hard to narrow it down to one favorite memory. They're all really good. But some of the things that I think of is the family dinners that have brought us together to where we're getting pretty deep. We're learning a ton about each other. Maybe we introduce somebody new into the group and really get to learn about them. Never had the chance to before. And then where it leads to something else. Because a lot of times for us, day two, right after mealtime is our finish up chore time where we're cleaning the station for the next crew to come on. And so we do that all together, which has created a much better culture in our department to where it's not just the new guys who are doing all of the cleaning. It's everybody. And we all pitch in. We all have our part for it. But something on top of that, that it has led to for us is bringing back a little bit of some of the old culture that I remember when I started in this, which is playing board games or doing, you know, some other things around the kitchen table that we sometimes don't feel like we have the time for anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I would add into that was when we get the opportunity to not only have our family time, but when I get to bring my family and other people's family into our family time at the firehouse. So
yeah,
those holiday times are super important as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my wife has brought my kids a couple times. I've brought my daughters specifically to the firehouse to have breakfast with us. There was one time last year that I was working and I had to work both nights just on the weekend, and my wife brought all the kids and they sat at dinner with us. And I remember the guy being like, "Hey, don't forget to eat your vegetables." He's not eating his vegetables, but they were like, you know, this dude just like, the tone of voice that he used is like very, you know, demanding. But and they're just like, "Oh, we got to do that." You know, like, it's probably the first time one of the boys had vegetables and it was fun. And then, you know, around the firehouse and have a great time. So when you give an example, I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's definitely something that I thought about." I mean, I don't typically think about meals every day, you know, they happen all the time, but
yeah.
So that was probably one of my favorites because my family gets to come and hang out with me. So
yeah, it's super cool. A lot of times because of the nature of our job, we keep business and personal life a little bit separate. Like, we don't want to weigh our family down with some of the stuff that we deal with at work, but this is really a time to be able to bring that family in, as it's our family time at work as well. And for me, I've got a daughter who's 4 years old, and being able to bring her into the fire station when my wife comes in, it's just awesome because I get to show her what I do. She potentially gets to see me run out on a call and understand the importance and the urgency behind some of those things and why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just I disappear for 2 days and there's no meaning behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, they get to see the actual thing that you do instead of what you just tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always cool when they go on calls with us too and they have an idea of what we're doing. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
They get to, you know, let alone run the fire truck. Who doesn't?
Yeah. So what do you think is a go-to meal that every firefighter should probably have in their backpack?
Oh, you should be able to make a good cheeseburger. Who doesn't love it? You can make sort of cheeseburger, some sort of roast, because those are very forgiving. You know, learn how to cook steamed vegetables, just like basic. Yeah. I say basic to me, but like simple meals that are not complicated will just be very successful. You know, if you concentrate on cooking steaming broccoli or steaming some sort of vegetable the right way, you can actually pay attention to it while something else is cooking in the oven. One, you know, you're not going to get complaints that the vegetable sucks. And then two, it's going to look good on you that you show pride in your how you do things. Obviously, there's a learning curve. You know, you've got to learn at some point, and, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
The biggest thing.
Okay. I'm excited about this next series of questions that I got for you.
Okay.
So as Tower One Lieutenant, how do you feel like the kitchen plays into Firehouse leadership?
Yeah, so you talked about some of those conversations that you have. You know, you hold the level of discourse, right? So like if someone's getting out of hand, be like, yep, yeah, we don't do that. It's kind of hard though, because you don't want to, you want to stifle anybody's, you know, freedom of speech. But at some point, when they're being disrespectful, you have to speak up. Well, you know, what you tolerate is what happens. And then, you know, if two dudes are fighting all the time, you're like, hey, we're on the same team here, but like, I don't know what you're getting off, you know, fired up about. And then sometimes they just need that little reminder and that's it.
Yeah.
Or if, for the most part, I just let them talk about whatever the fuck they want. Excuse me, my language, but.
No, you're fine. So what you just said is perfect. I feel like as leaders, we absolutely accept that responsibility and step into that role, which means that we're not always getting to play everybody's friend. But once again, this kitchen table, our family time, allows us to come back in and just be with our crew, let people talk freely. And it's, while yes, there are times, especially now in our current climate and culture, that potentially we need to check people. But this is also the time I feel like as a captain that I can really just pour into my people and let them see that I'm not just, you know, the one who's directing everything all the time. I just let conversations happen, have fun with them, talk about normal human bullshit, right?
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point. You don't have to control everything all the time, right? If the conversation's going fine, I don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, if it's been weeks since these dudes have talked to each other, then it's like, hey, you got to step up and be like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, maybe it's a bad call and everybody's kind of gloomy. Be like, hey, you know, crack a joke, lighten the mood, or you know, that's the kind of stuff as a leader that we need to do. We don't necessarily have to drive the conversation. It can be whatever it has to be. You know what I mean? Like, and if it's getting a little stale, that's when you add your 2 cents or whatever. Or you know, I wouldn't go any farther than, you know, keeping it lively. Or
yeah,
you know, it's a rough road, right? Because as soon as you try to take over that area, it's gonna bleed over into other areas, right? And it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an outgoing person, you want to talk, you thrive on like a conversation, great. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that guy. I'm more of a like three people and less, I'll talk a lot. If there's more than three people, I'm probably not talking. I'm more observing the conversation. Yeah. And then I'll add to it if I feel like it. But if it's not going the way, if there's a conversation that's stupid, or I say stupid, but like immature or something like that,
yeah,
steer it away from it. Be like, hey, anyway, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, back to reality or whatever. Or I'm sure people have actually just straight talk to me and I'm just not paying attention to them because they talk all the time and I'm just like, oh, sorry, what were you saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm just sorry, you talk a lot and I just
So you were talking about steering conversations. As leaders in the fire department, we should be at a point in our career and in our life where we can at least read rooms, read situations potentially a little bit better than maybe some of our younger people. So it's not necessarily about restricting anything, but it potentially about reading the room and reading the other people that are either involved or not involved in the conversation that might not be perceiving the conversation the same way as the two knuckleheads that are just going back and forth.
Yeah. So with those kind of situation, that takes intuition, that takes a little bit of time, that just takes being in groups of people a lot and being like, oh, they said something that was emotionally charged, or just knowing your people in general, be like, yeah, we probably shouldn't talk about too much religious stuff because this dude's like super Christian or whatever, or maybe he just needs to loosen up a little bit about it and they're just going to hammer you with it. So hammer you with things that, you know, you need to lighten up. And, you know, they'll find out if it bothers you and they'll just keep doing it. But like, that would be an instance to be like, oh, this dude obviously can't take it. Be like, hey, knock it off or whatever. Like, give it a break. Maybe he's having a rough day. Or getting to know your people before you have dinner or lunch or breakfast. Be like, hey, how's your day going? Like, and if they just fucking, you know, don't say anything to you when you ask them, like, oh, okay, obviously this dude's off today, right? because as a lieutenant, the tools on the fire truck are no longer your implements for work. The people are. So like, hi, and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, like, everybody says hi to me. And I'm just like, when I was a fireman, nobody said hi to me. And I'm just like, okay, well, this is different now.
I really like how you described that. That is a great perspective of the different roles, whether you've heard that somewhere else or whatnot. Like, it is, it's awesome. No longer the tools of the fire truck, it's the people.
Yeah, my battalion chief taught me that, so
I love it.
Yeah, well, it's true though, because you know, if your A plus dude isn't doing A plus stuff today, you're not going to get A plus stuff out of him. If he's something going on at home, you know, you might have to watch him a little bit, or you know, they don't need steering eventually. They don't need direction typically today. He might, or you got two new dudes or three new dudes working with you, and normally they want to do stuff, and the one dude's kind of like hanging out with by himself. Like, he gotta be like, "Hey, you good?" You know what I mean? Like, or he's just a thought, and that's just the way their personality is.
Totally. That was awesome. That's a great description. Okay, so how about this? I guess this jumps back into our first section a little bit, but that's kind of how my brain works. But let's say that you are cooking. How would you say the best way that you've found to deal with firehouse critics? And not necessarily from you on the outside, but for you, who's the one who's actually cooking?
Sometimes your eggs might be a little overdone or underdone, or sometimes your steak's going to be a little bit more well done or underdone. You know, I don't know what happened to it. And they're just like, just like stuff like that. And if they don't get the hint, you know what I mean? Or after that, well, you should probably just have conversations with people. But, you know, they've got to mess with it a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Okay. I like that. So how about this? So obviously, there's a rich tradition in the firehouse kitchen of cooking these big meals, maybe even specific meals, depending on the department that you're at. But those aren't always the healthiest of meals. So I saw a really interesting topic the other day about how we have this tradition of family time. And if you're not eating the family time meal, then you're disrupting the culture of the kitchen table. Now, I think there's something to be said for that, but there's something to be said for obviously taking your own health into consideration and what you're doing for yourself. And I think we're starting to see a shift in that people are more willing to get on board with healthier choices for meals. So maybe just opening up and saying, hey, what do you guys think about doing this for tonight? I think is definitely a really good option. But do you think that if somebody chooses to do something completely different, that they ruin the kitchen table? Does that make sense?
So they're just eating something different, but they're still at the firehouse table?
Yeah, maybe I'm not phrasing that. And that is correct. That's what I'm getting at. But so say that you had somebody that did bring their own meal, and maybe you had a couple people that brought their own meals. And they are kind of, maybe they had a captain that was fine with that before you got there. Let's say, you go to a new place and you got two people that are doing their own meals. You want to kind of bring this back together. Do you think that it has to be done by everybody eating the same meal? Or do you think there's another way to do that?
That is a very interesting question, because one, I would try to figure out what these people's goals are specifically. Like, are they doing like a bodybuilding competition? Because obviously that is a very intensive food. Food is very important for bodybuilders. Like, they have to have a certain amount of macros. Like, they have to be on point like all the time. So like, or if they're just doing it for maybe like they have some sort of autoimmune disease, like celiac disease, and they can't eat stuff that you eat. So they have to be very cognizant of that, like having a conversation, be like, hey, is this, or what is this? Is this like religious, whatever it is? You know what I mean? Like, a conversation with them first before you go judging, you know, be curious.
Yeah, totally.
So, and if it's any of those things, it's like totally acceptable in my opinion, right? But if they're just doing it because they just don't want to be a part of the group, then I think there's some other issues going on. And then that's a different conversation. But I mean, if they're just like, I don't see a problem with somebody trying to eat a certain way with the way for health or whatever. Like, if that's their thing, we don't typically eat great options at the firehouse, right? super high fat, super high carb, low protein usually. So like that's not good for a certain body aesthetic, or for your cholesterol would be great. So like maybe they have some medical issues that they don't want to tell you, you know, and that's totally up to them. You know what I mean? So being a little bit of curiosity based with your questions probably will help you go a long way, and it probably will make them feel less alienated, and then probably be more willing to open up and be a part of the group. But if they're just kind of like, hey, I just want to eat this thing, but they still want to hang out, I'm okay with that, because they still want to be a part of the group. They're still sharing a meal, technically, right? They're just not eating what you're eating. Or maybe it's a budget thing, you know what I mean? It could be that, and they just don't want to tell you. So there's a lot of factors, right? So
ton of factors. Yeah. Despite my poor wording of that question and how I initially asked it, I think you hit all the points that I really wanted to touch on, which is it's not just a black and white question. It's something that potentially requires more digging and leading with curiosity. Because let's talk about that last one you said. Say you have somebody who's doing it for budgetary reasons. That's tough. That is so challenging, because nobody ever wants to really let that be known. That's definitely not the first thing that people are divulging at the firehouse, is like, sorry, we are trying to make some healthy financial choices at home right now. This really doesn't allow for that. So that alone maybe provides some shame or embarrassment for them, which might lead them to not even wanting to have that meal around everybody else.
Yeah, because they feel shame just to be, you know, not being able to do the same things that you're doing, you know what I mean? But like, that is, if it's at that point, I think that some certain other conversations should have been had. Like, hey, you good? Like, or hey, you know, whatever's going on, like, still want you to hang out, you know, that could be your peer support team, like seeing certain things, or, you know, learning certain behaviors. Like as an officer, you have to learn certain behaviors. And I went through a whole bunch of them myself, and some other guys like called me out on it a couple of times. So it was like, now that I saw it happen, right, I get this perspective of like, hey, it's okay to call, be like, hey, you good? You know what I mean? Like, hey, we noticed, like you said earlier, we noticed this one guy wasn't eating with us and kind of just hung out by himself. Like, hey, that's abnormal. Like, what's up with that? You know what I mean? And then people called me out on it too. So it's like, it's like just knowing certain behaviors is a certain way to open up different conversations.
Yeah, that is huge. And there's so many reasons. So I found that a couple times. We had at one of my houses, we had somebody who ate a very specific way. We always tried to at least once a month make a meal that was something that he enjoyed eating, and we would just eat it with him. And so then he was still involved. He could still jump in and help make it with all of us, because I think there's something important to that too, right? Like when you all pitch in or making the same meal together. But I also agree with you that you don't ruin the kitchen table if you're eating different things, as long as it's at the same time, sharing the meal at the same time, where you're actually sitting down with minimal distractions around and just the firehouse kitchen table family time.
Yeah. It's just kind of like elementary school when you had everybody's different brown bag. You know what I mean? Like, you never know where you're going to get. Like, oh, what you got today? You want a tray?
Yeah. Totally. Totally. Yeah, let's go back to the sack lunches. Yeah. What you? And that is cool. That is, I think, the biggest thing that you hit on, though, is just that unique ability that, once again, it might show us something that's going on with somebody that we can dig into as the leader of that firehouse. So, Brian, let me get to know a little bit more about you as well. So you're a husband, father of four. How long have you been married? You already told me ages of your kids. And then this has probably looked different throughout the years, but how do you balance family life with the fire service?
Yeah, so I've been married to my current wife about a year and a half, a year and 8 months. I met her online. And it worked out. So she's cool, a former Marine. So she gets like the firehouse like humor and stuff like that. And I can basically say whatever. And she just kind of laughs, which is awesome. You know what I mean? And she's kind of a nerd like me sometimes. So it's great. You know, we just have good conversations. We can travel all over the place to see different stuff. You know, we both have our quirks. But and then working together, we made our family table into a place where we hold family meetings. So that's similar to like discussions in the firehouse. Be like, hey, this is what's going on. Is there anything going on at school? You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, would you like to eat anything different? Would you like to invite any friends over? And then do you have any problems with what's going on with that at home, how we're doing stuff? Like, we make it an open conversation at our family table so that they feel that they can talk about whatever they. So it's like inclusive instead of exclusive. Does that make sense?
That makes tons of sense. I think that's super cool. Everybody does things a little bit different, but I think it's really cool to hear that perspective of that firefighters don't always do things poorly. We do some things right, and yeah, the kitchen table is a cool way to do that. And the fact that you do that at home, set it up in a similar way to where you can have those family meetings where you can give kids the option for input into what's going on, give them the ability to air out frustrations or anything else that's going on.
Yeah. So
I think it's super cool.
Yeah, we're a mixed family, so that comes with its own issues. You know what I mean? Like, some of the kids be like, oh, well, they're doing this and I don't like that. I was like, well, you got to talk to them. Like, you have to say something.
Yeah.
Oh, and this gives them the opportunity to be like, hey, I don't like it when they do this. Like, oh, okay, let's talk about that. We'll have a 5-10 minute conversation. Sometimes it's longer than that, about behaviors and stuff like that. And it's a good learning opportunity. Everybody feels heard, everybody. And then, you know, we work on a solution together. So it seems to be successful and they're asking for it now. They're like, hey, can we have family meetings? Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that, so because it levels the playing ground a little bit and it doesn't surprise anybody. Mm-hmm. So I'll be totally transparent here with my own personal journey. My wife and I have been to couples counseling, and one of the things that came up for us was picking a time, regardless of what it is. For you, it sounds like it's the dinner time or before dinner time at the kitchen table, but having that time, and it's kind of a preset thing to where we come together and we talk about all those things, and it is a safe space and nobody feels attacked, because it's not like you're bringing a question on somebody out of the blue that potentially feels judgmental in some way. It's like, well, this is the time where we're going to do that. And none of it is judgmental. It's just questions that we need to ask, we need to air out on both sides. So
yeah,
I like
so
that.
We do a similar, like if we have a thing, we'd be like, hey, can I give you some feedback? And I learned this from my father and some other guys, but like, it's like a permission thing. And you could say no, right? And then if you say yes, be like, hey, this is what's going on. Here are the facts. This is the way it feels. This is what I like to do in the future. And you can just be like, cool. And then you basically just allow them to say what they have to say. And then you can move on to a later discussion. But that allows that person to feel heard or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So you had told me earlier that your hobbies include mixed martial arts, hunting, reading, exercise. What do those things play into your approach as a firefighter, or how do they influence your approach to firefighting?
I think it's interesting, all the things that I've picked that I enjoy, like the mixed martial arts, which is basically Muay Thai boxing and Dutch kickboxing together. It's interesting that I pick that. My therapist was like, hey, you should probably go like punch people in the face because you have some rage in your body. So I was like, oh, okay. So I listened to him. It's great. Ever since I started doing that, my outlook has changed a lot.
Okay.
Aggressive with people. I noticed that I'm just like in a better mood. I think it ties over to firefighting because it's, I like close combat stuff. Obviously, I'm a truckie, so I'll get as close as I possibly can and then search away, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Or stuff like that, you know, just different strategies and tactics, learn from fighting other people. I think it helps me deal with those tough conversations that you necessarily don't want to deal with, but you still have to, right? Because you're like, what is he going to do? He's going to get mad at me. He's not going to beat me up because they all know that I go do this. Like, okay, let's just have this conversation or whatever. Makes me a little bit more, I wouldn't say aggressive, but more, I pick my battles better. There's a word for it I'm looking for. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Sure. I think overall what you're saying, it probably gives you better awareness of all situations and just discipline overall. I mean, that is what all that stuff does for us, is teach discipline.
Yeah. So with reading, like I like science fiction books that have stories based around certain aspects. And it's interesting to watch how the conversations go between people. And you're like, okay, so you learn how to communicate differently other than like going to a therapist and learn how to communicate and stuff like
that.
As silly as it sounds, it's effective. Hunting, you know, just be a little patient. You know, you have lots of planning around that. It's more knowing where you're going and when things are going to be there. You know what I mean? Like, it's more strategic planning and stuff like that. I've noticed a lot of the things I get into, they play into my modus operandi, which is strategic planner. So, taking a couple of personality tests and been like, that's the way my brain works. I'm like, okay, that's why I like war games, or that's why I like fighting, or that's why I like this or that or whatever. I like these specific things because they all kind of go into the way my brain works, and that just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like the more opportunities that I can get to learn strategy, like, because obviously I'm an officer and that's tactical and strategic based thinking. It's no longer like task based thinking. It's strategical and tactic based thinking. The more opportunities I can flex those muscles, the better I can be at my job. So everything's tied together.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's cool what you've done. Is this has come up in some of my other episodes, but one of the things that I tell my new people is when you're passionate about something or you have a strength, that is something that you have to lean into, not completely rely on, because you don't neglect the other stuff, but you lean into your strengths, right? Took the personality test, learned what your MO is, and ultimately have taken that to a whole nother level. But that is where you thrive. That is the zone that you thrive in, where your comfort level is. And so it allows you to tailor things in that way. So like a lot of the times what I'll tell my people is, hey, you seem to be really polished at throwing ladders. So I want you to continue to be really good at throwing ladders and continue to learn all the tips and tricks and everything you can about throwing ladders, because that's where you excel. And then I want you to start teaching that to people, because when you teach that, then the other people that have passions about other things, such as stretching hose or forcible entry, are going to start sharing their tips and tricks with you. So now you just open up the door for more learning based around what you do, though.
You also teach them how to be leaders at that point. You teach them how to be instructors, you know what I mean? Because you can sit, you as the officer can sit back and watch them teach and be like, and just let them do it. And then be like, okay, so why did you do it that way? Or like, hey, I noticed this thing. Can you, next time you should probably be focused on this and that. You know what I mean? Like, you did super good. Focus on this next. And just, you know, it's what you said, allowing them to teach, one, helps culture in the firehouse, and then two, like, teaches them to be a good leader and instructor later. And that's, you're basically like teaching them your job. And some people will be like, well, I'm not doing that. And you're like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to do that. That's fine. But no one's ever going to respect you in the future, maybe, potentially.
Yeah.
And if you ever take that test, you're going to be horrible at running instruction. So, or you never do it. So like, oh, we're just going to go do this thing. Yeah, cool. What's the objective or whatever? And it also teaches the new guys that they can trust those middle of the road, like not necessarily senior men, but like the junior senior men, the dudes that want to do stuff that are leaders in the firehouse technically, but like they don't have a title. So you basically decentralize the command to them to be like, hey, dude, go do this thing. And then everything about that is awesome, in my opinion. So I just kind of took that out of it. But
no, it's exactly where I wanted to go with this question, because our hobbies typically are really based around what makes us us. Like the things that you enjoy doing, your core values come out in your hobbies because that is you. Yeah. That is what brings you enjoyment. Not anybody else. I mean, granted, obviously some people have the same hobbies as us, but that is what brings you enjoyment. And sometimes our hobbies are a little bit shaped by our lives and our what we have time to do as well. But I would say most of the time, our hobbies are really shaped by what we want, what we enjoy, what brings us enjoyment. And so where I was going with that is, do they influence your approach to firefighting? Yes, absolutely. They have to, right? Because now I'm taking my passions and I'm learning from them, constantly learning. Like that is what, I mean, reading is one of your hobbies. And you said you read science fiction, but anybody knows when it comes to reading, like that is constant learning that we're doing with that. We're constantly learning and growing with that. Hunting is a matter of discipline, patience, reading distances, like just reading situations with the weather and everything else, which all plays into firefighting. Like huge, actually. MMA, body positioning, how to move people effectively, and then exercise, how to move ourselves effectively and body awareness and discipline to do that. So yes, those are our passions and hobbies. Yes, they should influence the way that we fight fire, the way that we lead within the fire department, the way that we do things. It's where we can really access and express the things that we are good at,
And it can be anything for anybody else. You know, I like the cool thing about fighting in the fighting gym is like, I like confrontation sometimes. Like I'll just pick on somebody on the internet because I feel like fighting. You know what I mean? Like I'll walk around my house and like, you know, annoy my kids because it's fun. You know what I mean? Or I'll throw a grenade in the kitchen or at the firehouse. I wouldn't say grenade.
Yeah, I do it to my wife on occasion, to be completely honest. And I know it's poking the bear that is going to end terribly for me, but sometimes it just has to be done.
Yeah, I mean, we're as, you know, it's in the title, firefighting, right? Without conflict, we basically don't have anything. If you're not going to fires all the time, you don't flex that conflict muscle. So if we don't have problems to fix, we're going to go find them. And that's why people, you know, get fights in the firehouse or, you know, this shift hates this shift or whatever. And you see it all the time, right? And you're just like, especially if we haven't done anything for a long time, they just, people get bickery and they act weird because they don't have something else other than what's going on at work to get that conflict muscle or whatever to fight or to get out, you know, to get that out of their system. Excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, healthy expressions, outlets of the things. I mean, you could relate it to the show Dexter. We all got that dark passenger.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't really watched Dexter. I think that's the dude that kills people, right?
He's the serial killer that kills bad guys, right? And that's how he expresses that. That's his outlet. But I mean, in a funny way, we all potentially have that dark passenger or that thing that we need a healthy outlet for. Well, so that's a really cool way of thinking about that. And absolutely. So Brian, as we wrap up here, couple things. So where can people find your book, Beginner's Guide to Firehouse Kitchens?
It's on Amazon. Okay. Just look up my name or the title should show up. I can probably send you a link if you do all that stuff.
I have it. Now I will put it in the podcast for people to see.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to get it. And it's Kindle, paperback, and hardback. That was an interesting figuring all that stuff out, but that was cool.
I'm sure.
But yeah, that's the easiest way to get that.
Okay. Very cool. If people have questions about the book or anything from this podcast, what's a good way to connect with you?
You can just hit me up on Instagram, byonkin, byonkin. That's the easiest way. I don't really do Facebook. And I'm horrible at checking my emails sometimes.
Any final words of wisdom for firefighters looking to step up their kitchen game?
Don't be afraid to try simple things. If you can master the simple basics, cooking simple things well, like when you get to the more complicated types of food, those types of food will be much better. Don't be afraid to ask for help in the kitchen either. You know, as men, we typically don't ask for help. I'm guilty of it too. Like guys come in and we're like, hey, do you need help? No, I'm all right. Of course, I know I can make everything in about 45 minutes, but it's just quicker that way. But, you know, it could help with the bonding with those guys too. Just be like, they're in the kitchen with me, we're talking, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Be like, hey, I don't know how to do this. Can you cut this for me? Maybe you work the grill or whatever. Stuff like that. Or set the table or...
Yeah, and I find when I mess up a meal and it ends up taking me longer to produce it than what I originally thought, when I actually allowed people to help, I can blame it on them.
That's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think it is a very good option to always ask for help, even when you're doing something simple like, hey, yeah, I got to chop up these vegetables while I fire up the grill. You know, it just goes a long way to adding into that kitchen table, into that firehouse kitchen. And so I would echo exactly what you're saying. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And that probably goes for any capacity in the fire service, but definitely at the kitchen table. I think it's a cool way to bring people together. You never know what you might learn even in that, like a tip to cut something up or a tip to cook something a different way that is just going to carry you throughout the rest of your career as well.
Yeah, man. All that stuff.
Okay. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
That's it for this episode of the Forging Wellness Podcast. If you found value in today's conversation, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who could benefit. Your support keeps this mission going. Want to help us grow? Consider making a donation. Every bit helps us bring more impactful content your way. Follow us on Instagram at ForgingWellness208 and check us out on YouTube. Thanks for being a part of the journey. Keep forging your wellness, and we'll see you next time.